This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Anthony Brooks is off this week. For those of you who are keeping track, the Boston mayor's race has more than 20 candidates so far. Yesterday, it became 24 when Charlotte Golar Ritchie, former aide to Governor Deval Patrick and former chief of Boston's Department of Neighborhood Development, became the first major African-American female candidate to enter the race. So things are getting even more exciting every day. And joining us now to discuss this race is Peter Ubertasio. He's chairman of the political science department at Stonehill College. Peter, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So let's start off first by just talking specifically about Charlotte Golar Ritchie. Very impressive resume, as we mentioned, former aide to Governor Deval Patrick and chief of Boston's Department of Neighborhood Development. Also a former Dorchester State rep and has a lot of experience in the not-for-profit sector here in Massachusetts. So what do you make of her as a potential candidate for mayor?
Well, she brings quite a varied resume to the race. I think at this point in the race, the most important aspect of her resume, I think, is the fact that she is a former state representative who unseated an incumbent. So that, I think, indicates to me that she knows how to put together a field organization, she knows how to organize precinct by precinct, and she knows how to turn out the vote. And it's been a while since she's had to do that, but I think in a race such as this, your ability to put that kind of organization together is going to be crucial.
So that's the technical aspects of running a campaign in the city of Boston. What about the symbolic aspect of her being the first sort of major African-American female candidate?
Well, I think, you know, in a changing Boston, many of us were waiting for this to happen. It's really about time. The city is very different. You know, just witnessed the election for a state Senate seat the other day. A candidate of color, a woman, we should quite frankly be seeing more of this in the Boston of 2013.
More of it. And yet the surprising thing is that we are seeing maybe not as much as we'd like so far, or we generally speaking.
I think that's right. I think that there are a variety of reasons for that, not the least of which is the leading candidates have nice war chests and they have been around for a long time. They happen to be white men. I don't think that we organize well enough among communities of color or women. I think that's changing in the city and state, but there's a culture in Massachusetts and certainly in Boston at work here.
Mm-hmm. So let me just ask you sort of another strategic question about Charlotte Golar Ritchie before we move forward and speak about the larger pool of candidates as a whole. What does her presence now in this race do to the race itself? Does she have the capacity to shake things up? Do those other candidates look at her as a name to contend with?
I think so, because she is. She's well known to folks in Boston, certainly well known in Dorchester. She'll have a lot of support among progressives who work really hard for, say, Governor Patrick. She's not the only one, however. So I don't think any one candidate radically shakes up this race because there's so many. And so there's a lot of crossover appeal. So if you're, a progressive activist, you've got really a great menu of candidates from which to choose.
24, in fact,
that's right.
For example. I mean, I can only imagine on the preliminary vote what that voter sheet is going to look like. So, I mean, amongst those other 23 candidates, who stands out to you so far?
The Suffolk County District Attorney certainly stands out as someone who's had a long presence in Boston politics as a member of the City Council and who's had to run citywide and had a presence citywide. Races like this are going to be fought neighborhood by neighborhood, but Dan Conley has a presence beyond Boston, surely, but certainly within the entire city. And he's got very deep pockets at this point, so he can put together a field organization that's worth something. It's deep and that has a lot of talent. I think Marty Walsh has made a big splash early on, and early indications are that he's going to have significant support among labor and unions, and we'll see what that turns into. But certainly we know that those folks are very good at turning out the vote and giving their very strong and very vocal support to the candidates of their choosing. You know, I think that Felix Arroyo is certainly young, but he's made quite a name for himself and has some support among those who recently supported Senator Warren and supported Governor Patrick. I think Rob Consalvo is another city councilor who's going to have some serious strong support in Hyde Park. The question will be, can Conley, the Suffolk County DA, organize his own neighborhood sufficiently to crowd Consalvo out. They share that neighborhood, so there's going to be some turf battles there, I suspect.
Yeah. The first hurdle that all of these candidates have to clear, though, is just getting enough signatures to make it onto the ballot. And the deadline for that is, what, May 21st?
It's coming up.
Yeah, and so they have to get 3,000 signatures, not as much as for a statewide race by any means, but is that a tough number to achieve in the city of Boston?
Well, it is among 24 candidates all looking for support. But I think it shouldn't be tough for people who have strong field organizations. And I think the signatures are really the first test that we have of candidate strength. Can they turn in a significant number of signatures? Because you need significantly more than that because they have to be certified. So you can't turn in 3,001 and hope that you're going to make it on the ballot. So you want to turn in as many as you can because it's a first of all, they have to get certified, and secondly, it shows that you're strong, and I think that's what the candidates want to do, and we may end up with less than 24, after that deadline.
Yeah. So, Peter, I guess my last couple questions for you have to do with the fact that the field is so crowded. Maybe we won't end up with 24, but we'll end up with a lot. How is it that these candidates, once they're fully up and running, are going to be able to differentiate themselves from each other beyond the sort of neighborhood identity or even just their personal backgrounds? Because when it comes to what they actually want from Boston, I'm not seeing much of a difference between the candidates so far.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's certainly going to be a challenge. I think it also points to the fact that we're in a very changed city. This is not the city of Kevin White or Ray Flynn anymore, and the races that they fought. A lot of the candidates, my guess is, are going to run on continuing the legacy of Tom Menino, who is still a very popular mayor. There are certainly challenges, and there may be some differences in issues like education and issues on crime prevention. Those always tend to elicit some pretty sharp responses from candidates, but I don't think we're going to see very significant differences in their policy approaches. I think this race may hinge on who has the strongest field organization and can get out the vote, and that will be something new in Boston politics, certainly when you have a crowded race like this.
We just have literally a couple seconds to go. What do you make of the potential influence that the man who is still the mayor, Tom Menino, may have on this race? He, of course, hasn't thrown his name behind any person so far, but he is a weighty and powerful figure in Boston politics, nevertheless.
He doesn't need to explicitly throw his name behind anyone. He just needs to make it clear to his loyalists and his supporters who he might like to see replace him. I'm not sure Tom Menino sees anyone who's worthy of replacing him, but as the time gets closer, my guess is that his people will rally around a particular candidate.
Well, Peter Ubertasio is chairman of the Political Science Department at Stonehill College. Peter, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, let us know what you think about the ever-growing field of mayoral candidates for the city of Boston. You can always do that at radioboston.org. And stick with us, because coming up next, we'll take a look at lessons learned from a 2005 bombing in the city of London. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.